Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the guy that always takes pictures in the blue jungle. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, Cortland. I just love blue jungles.
I know. You're fucking Lizzie McGuire the shit out of those blue jungles. You're like, ka-chee, ka-chee, ka-chee. It's crazy.
Any other color jungle, though? Get out of here with that.
It doesn't really make for a good backdrop, you know? You're so
Could you imagine an orange jungle?
No.
Disgusting. One that's
on fire. No. Burn it down. Brandon, how you doing? It's been a whole week. How's it going?
Doing all right.
That's good. I'm not feeling so good.
Oh, no.
You want to know what the problem is?
Stay away from me.
I can't help it. We have that cookie exchange later this afternoon. Dang it. Brandon, you want to know what is slowly killing me, I think? I think it's happened.
What do you got?
So, you know, the podcast is like 5 years old almost. Right?
I guess it is.
It could fucking walk and talk and go to preschool and stuff. We have talked for like the past 5 years about watching a certain movie, okay? And it's been a running joke on the podcast for a long time. And this week on fucking Plot Points, Brandon, we're going to finally talk about it. Can you believe that?
No.
I know.
Right? I've been petitioning you to watch this movie for I don't know how long.
It's been longer than 5 years. It has.
Oh, yeah. It's older than this podcast. I've been like, Cortland, we need to watch this movie together.
Well, we didn't watch it together, but I think we watched it separately. And it's killing me, Brandon. It's making me not feel good. I blame that movie.
I don't blame you for blaming the movie.
It was 70 minutes of torture, Brandon. but you know what?
It's not very long for a movie.
No, and it moves. But, you know, we're not talking about that movie right now, Brandon. We're talking about fucking Tales from the Crypt, okay? We got to talk about that.
That's the reason for the season.
Yeah. But other than that, did you do anything cool this week?
No. Watching that movie was the coolest thing I did. But the second coolest thing I did was watching Tales from the Crypt.
Ah, okay. All right. You know, something else that's going on this week is that my son is testing for another belt in karate. So what? I'm not feeling well. Yeah.
Did they create new belts for him?
Right. Well,
he's like, shit, he just he's learned so a good. New karate chop. We've got to create a new color, splorange.
No, it's Blello, Brandon. No, so after he got his junior black belt about 6 months ago, and you keep going after that. Like, you get a black belt with an orange stripe or a yellow stripe and then orange and until it's a full black belt. So it's going to take like 3 years before he's like a full black belt. So yeah, he goes for a test today, and this test is like intense, and he's been training for it for a couple of months now. And
at this point, do they just have like a grown man come in and fight him?
Yeah, kind of.
If he survives, then he gets the next belt.
Yeah, if he doesn't get dragged away into the closet, he gets his belt. No, this test is like 3 hours long, Brandon. Okay,
Jesus.
It's a lot. So I gotta sit through that. Like, I can't wait because it's really entertaining to watch because he does so well. But it's also 3 hours, Brandon. Like, that's three times the amount of time it took to watch that movie I was talking about.
That's a long time. Like, you can get registered for a firearm or to drive a motor vehicle in less time than that.
It's true. It's true. Did you hear about that new documentary, Quiet on Set?
I've heard of it, yeah.
I watched it all, Brandon. I couldn't help myself.
How long is it? Is it just like normal movie length?
It's like four episodes that are 45 minutes, so it's not that long.
It's just a little mini series.
I watched it all on Thursday. I was like, let me just look at one episode, and then I was like, I have to watch all of it.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah, so I watched it, and it was very... it's very sad. Brandon was very, very sad.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Yeah. They do mention Are You Afraid of the Dark, like, for a brief moment in it, because they were like, Nickelodeon was the bee's knees back in the day. Are You Afraid of the Dark was on. And then it was like, and then all these other shows that have terrible things going on in the background. So Are You Afraid of the Dark is free and clear of all of the terrible.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, like, they had Mark Summers on at the beginning talking about, like, Double Dare and how much fun it was and how they respected the kids and everything, and everybody had a great time. And then it went into, like, all that and, you know, the Dan Schneider shows and everything was terrible. It was so bad. Brandon, we got done watching an episode of Tales from the Crypt, you know, as we do.
We did.
Do you want to start talking about it?
Yeah. What do we got this week?
All right. So we just got done watching Season 5, Episode 4, Food for Thought. A lot of Fs in that one, Brandon. A lot of Fs. What did you think of Food for Thought?
I'm going to give you some more Fs.
Okay, give me.
Fucking...
Give
me I mean, it wasn't terrible. It's not a great episode.
It was an exploitative episode, wasn't it, though?
You could say that. Definitely.
I did. Yeah. I'm not going to delete that part, Brandon.
No, keep it in.
This episode, like, I don't know how I feel about it. On one hand, I hate it. On the other hand, I'm like, I don't think I like it. It's not great. It's not a great episode.
So it's either a hate it or don't really like it. There's no in between.
Yeah, I think I'm being dramatic, though. It's not the worst episode. I think I say that for every episode that I consider like the worst episode, though. So don't listen to me. Turn off the podcast. It's just got a lot going on. You got fucking psychic clowns.
Does
it,
though?
Fire eaters. It's got a gorilla. It's got a gorilla's brand. Or a gorilla.
I guess when you mention like all the specific ingredients in this episode, there's a lot going on. But plot-wise,
it's a pretty quick one.
You could probably summarize it in like two sentences.
We're not going to do that though, Brandon, because that's spoiler territory. And you know how it goes, okay? This episode's like 20 years old.
Yeah, we got to stretch this podcast out. We got to stretch it right out.
Me and my stupid millennial brain, Brandon, that's like 30 years old. Goodness. So, yeah. I think we should just start at the beginning and we'll just talk through all of the nonsense. How's that? Mm-hmm. How's that sound?
Yeah, it's what we do.
Our episode begins and right away we're looking at the Crypt Keeper, and he's dressed up like a doctor with a little mirror strapped to his forehead. And he's looking over at an x-ray of somebody's teeth. He's all, frankly, your hax rays look terrible.
God.
I know, right away.
I know I've been critical of his puns in the past, but that may be his worst one so far.
I don't know. Neighborhood was really rough, Brandon.
Hax-ray. That's barely anything.
That's true. You've got to pay closer attention to your oral digene. And the camera pans up to see a man strapped to a bench. And his mouth is open, and he's all upset and stuff, making a bunch of, like, noises. He doesn't actually talk. He's just kind of like,
Yeah, this is just another one in the long line of Crypt Keeper just, like, having people in his basement.
Right, but they don't have any lines, because that's, like, too expensive or something. I don't know. It just doesn't really fit the flow, okay? Crypt Keeper is the focal point here. I guess Crypty's a dentist today, though. Isn't that, like, cute, though, Brandon? He's doing it all.
Yeah, I guess. He had to go to school for a long time.
He sure did. Yeah, dental hygienists are, like...
School.
Takes a long time.
Ghoul.
Did you just call it ghoul, that, Brandon?
That's something. School. Ghoul?
I knew it. You're the Crypt Keeper the whole time. He tells the man strapped down that if he keeps up his shenanigans, he'll end up looking like a Crypt Keeper himself. The man strapped down does not seem to like that at all, Brandon. He don't like it. Crypty tells him that he wants the dude to brush after every meal, floss, and gargoyle twice a day.
All right, he won me over again with that one.
Then he's all, wait a sec, looks like I need to drill. And he grabs a drill that's sitting on the table next to him and powers that shit on, laughing that this won't hurt me a bit. In the meantime, though, to take his mind off the pain, he's got a little dose of nitrous oxide for him. And we see Crypty put a little gas mask on the camera, which swaps to him putting it on the dude, who finally shuts the hell up. He tells us the story is about a sideshow mind reader that's lost his head over a pretty girl. He calls it food for thought. And we take a look at the picture for this one, and it's a little bit of a weird one, Brandon.
I think this one's actually incredible.
Really? I mean, it's just kind of... So it's like a dude's face... It's really close up to his face. In his mouth is a dude on fire, and in his eyes is the screaming head of a woman. But it's in both eyes, and it's just kind of, it's weird.
It's a very dynamic picture. It's like right in your face.
It is a face.
This giant man is swallowing a small burning man while a woman in stereo screams at him.
Okay. All right. You won me over, Brandon. It's pretty great. Some jazzy music starts playing as we fade into the episode, and we're just looking at a dude dancing. And he's got one little baby arm and one regular arm, and he is just getting down, Brandon. He's having a good time. He's a good dancer. The camera pans us down and over to Phil Fondacaro. I'm probably saying his name wrong, so sorry, Phil, but he's playing a character named Emmett that's jamming on an accordion. We keep panning past a gorilla in a cage that looks pretty upset. A dude putting makeup on a little girl, a clown and a strong man playing checkers, a woman with a beard doing some laundry. All very interesting things. As the credit plays, we keep panning around to some little clown guy under some stairs until finally we look over at one of our main characters of the story. Her name is Connie, and she's looking out the window of her trailer. And we hear somebody yell at her that she needs to concentrate, and she boringly says that she is. So the guy yells that she needs to concentrate harder. She sighs and tells him that she's tired and asks why this man needs to read her thoughts. Because she reads his, and isn't that enough? You'd think it would be, you know?
I mean, I can't read anybody's thoughts.
And how does that make you feel, Brandon? Powerless? Do you ever think about that, that you can't read other people's thoughts?
I try. I'm just bad at it.
I know. Your kids are all just, like, looking at you as you're sitting there with, like, a vein in your temple, and your hands are by it, and you're just like, you're like fucking Dr. Xavier-ing them over there, and they're just like, what the hell are you doing, Dad? What the... embarrassing me in front of all my friends.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're just like, there is no spoon.
What? Is that a Room reference? I hope it was.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Are spoons like a hot commodity in your house?
No, it's a Matrix reference.
Oh, okay, okay. This man, he's dressed as a clown, and his name is Zambini, okay? He slams down a cleaver on some meat, yelling,
God damn it, Connie. You're making me angry. Is that what you want?
She asks him if he wants to change or something, and Zambini complains that he doesn't want to change anything, meaning, like, their act, because they're in a circus. He just wants to taste her mind, Brandon.
Like, is he supposed to be a clown? Like, his face makeup?
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't look very clownish.
No. I'll explain his face makeup in kind of a moment here.
Okay.
He throws some brandy or something in his pan that he's cooking, which, like, flames up a bunch, and kind of gets annoyed here, saying everything is food for him. Food for thought, even, probably. Zambini agrees that everything is indeed food, and also, her mind is a morsel he craves. He turns around, and we see he's got makeup on, and looks suspiciously like the face from the cover of this episode.
Is that an insult to be like, I want to eat your brains, and it's just a tiny little morsel?
Ooh, kinda, isn't it?
He's not very nice.
No, he's not. Zambini is a jerk. He's a meanie. He's a Zambini. Okay, Brandon? So he's got white makeup on the upper half of his face, and I think it's red makeup on the lower side. His eyes are, like, black circles around, and then he's got, like, gold paint in them. Not his eyes, but, like, on the outside. He's gorgeous, Brandon.
He's scary. Like, he doesn't look like anybody that I'd want to see in any kind of fun performance.
Nah. I mean, this, like, sideshow circus thing is not really, like, it doesn't really appeal to me, per se. I don't really know what time period we're in either, you know? Are we in, like, the
20s? Based on the clothes, I'd say, like, 20s, 30s.
Okay.
But in Tales from the Crypt fashion, it doesn't, like, make a big deal about it.
No, there really have never been any episodes where they're in a time period piece and they make a big deal about it, which...
No, it kind of just is.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You don't have a character at the beginning being like, what? This is 1940. Like, no. You don't know what time period it is. He lifts up his finger to his temples, telling her to concentrate, and tells her to go on and do it now. He doesn't sound like a very nice person, is what my notes say, which we talked about. Connie rushes over to the bed and starts fanning herself with a little fan as Zambini guesses that she's thinking about something, perhaps on the bed. Connie tells him, nope. So Zambini's all, okay, let me think here. Is it, an object? Connie sighs and lays down, saying, kinda. Zambini gets more frustrated here, yelling that she's gonna teach him how to read her mind. And Connie, who's also frustrated at this situation, lays down complaining that she can't figure out how to send him her thoughts. Zambini doesn't believe that, though, saying, you know how to, you just don't wanna. Remember that one time I found you all alone and poor and pathetic? And Connie complains, yeah. You really think this is any better? So we're getting, like, a little bit of backstory here. Like, they are a couple, and Zambini found her and had her join the circus.
Yeah, really improved her situation.
Sure. Zambini here is snacking on the food he just made, licking his fingers and being really fucking gross about it. And he thinks, this shit is good, but it needs more brandy. And he just pours some out of the bottle right on top of his food, which is, that's weird. He's talking about how his mom used to make roast pig that tasted just like this. So that's
like brandy. Something.
I think so. Yeah. Then he eats some more and Connie gets up to leave. But Zambini tells Connie that she can't leave now because Zambini wants his dessert. His very special dessert, Brandon.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
The kind only Connie can give. But Connie doesn't want dessert. So Zambini starts licking his plate clean like a lunatic.
Oh, God. It's disgusting.
It's like his tongue is just like all over this plate. He's got it held up, you know, with his two hands, like right in front of his face, just licking it like he's never tasted food before. And it's weird.
Yeah. Well, like the entire time he's licking this plate, he's like looking at her like, I want you. I want my special dessert. And he's just licking that plate. He is going to town on that plate.
It gets worse, though, because we start hearing his thoughts, which he is, like, projecting over to Connie's mind, and he's telling her, like,
yes, tonight and every night, you know you can't deny me. My hands are on you, Connie.
It's all really disgusting. It's very much like sexual assault.
It's not like it. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. He goes on and on about how he wants dessert and Connie and can't resist them. And I'm going to kind of skip over this part because she goes over and she like starts unbuttoning this clown's shirt and smooching him on the chest and stuff. And it's weird. She just can't stop herself. So apparently, like, he is a telepath. He is projecting his thoughts over to Connie. And when that happens, she just can't resist for some reason.
Yeah, she can hear his thoughts, but also he has Jedi mind powers.
Right. So she's like on her knees, right? And I'm not going to go any further with that. And Zambini reaches over to a little box of chocolates and he pulls out two of them, just like the Trenchbold from Matilda. And he scoops them into his mouth.
Yeah. What is the food obsession in this episode? Is it anything or is it just to add a little bit of flavor?
I think it's just to add flavor because the episode is titled Food for Thought. So they're like, all right, we got to make this guy like hungry. Okay.
I mean, they keep wanting to make the association between brains, like yeah. Your brains, your thoughts, and food, which, you know, may come back later. We'll see.
Sure.
So I guess that's it.
Yeah, it seems very, like, last second, throw this in here. Let's give him a quirk. He's because, like, in the episode description on IMDb, it did say he was a chef, too. And we do see him, like, chopping up food all the fucking time. And Connie makes mentions a couple of times that it's like, oh, it's always food for you, isn't it? And there's like later on, they talk about how like Zambini is fat, but he is not. OK, he's no. A very like he's pretty thin, you know, and they try to make it sound like he's fat. Like, I think their casting choice for it could have been done a little bit better if they wanted to do like the overweight man angle. But they don't do that. Yeah,
like he's Ernie Hudson size. We know what he looks like.
Yeah. Now we quick cut over to Zambini with a wig on, calling out, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the great Zambini. And we see that there's a crowd, and they've gathered, and they're clapping. But we focus in on one woman that yawns like this is boring. And it's like, girl, why are you even here then if you think this is boring?
Well, maybe it's like you buy an all-day pass
mm-hmm.
to this sideshow, and it's like, okay, you've seen the gorilla, you've seen the bearded lady, so I guess I'll check out this Zambini thing, and this is boring.
All right, that's fair. Zambini goes on about how he and his assistant shall perform an amazing demonstration of psychic power, for he has traveled all over the world and been the subject to experiments from the greatest minds of all, trying to comprehend the amazing feats you're about to witness tonight. Now presenting Sultana, Brandon, and in walks Connie with his big headpiece on. She gets catcalled from the crowd, and she sits down, and he puts a blindfold on Connie, saying that he's going to broadcast his thoughts to Sultana, and she's going to be his radio. And a man from the audience is all,
well, if she's a radio, I want to twist her dials.
And the crowd laughs, Brandon, at that hilarious sexual joke.
Yeah, that's funny harassment.
So funny. Zambini thinks that's a good one and asks Connie, so even though your eyes are blindfolded, can you tell me what this man is wearing? And he starts, like, projecting his thoughts over to her. And we snap over to Connie, who's thinking about that, and says,
he is wearing pair of dirty underwear.
And the crowd laugh at that sick burn. Zambini's all, ooh, good one, girl. We're just going to have to take your word for it. But I do see something in this dude's pocket. And he reaches over and he picks it out. He tells Connie to concentrate and listen to his thoughts. And we snap back over to Connie that says the item is a little Bible, which it is. And the crowd all clap and Zambini asks the guy to pick a passage from the Bible. So he does and hands it back over to Zambini. And Zambini asks Connie what the passage is that he picked. And Connie starts reciting it, saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I don't know Bible stuff, so I'm just going to take her word for it.
Mm-hmm.
The man immediately stands up clapping, saying, oh, she's absolutely right. She did it. And the crowd eats that shit up, clapping and all that. And we cut over backstage to see some Siamese twins smoking or something. And Emmett is there, and he complains about how Zambini isn't done yet. He's like, God damn, he's not done yet. And he looks at his hands and complains that he just hates peanuts, Brandon. And then looks over at the gorilla that's in a cage. And the gorilla's name is Nabunga, asking her if she wants a peanut. And then he just chucks it at her. And we see it slap against the gorilla, who just growls. So Emmett throws another one and starts yelling more at Nabunga. He's about to throw another peanut, but a wave of fire flashes his way, and up walks a fire eater named Johnny. Johnny tells Emmett to leave the gorilla alone, but Emmett complains that he ain't hurting her, and she's just a dumb gorilla anyway. But Johnny's all, leave my Nabunga alone. She's got enough troubles without you teasing her. And he dramatically extinguishes his torch. And when I say torch, he has like a stick with some fire on the end.
Yeah. He's a fire eater.
Yeah.
He's about to eat it.
Right. Yeah. But he's not. He's just extinguishing the whole torch. Is this episode boring? I think it is.
It is. Yes.
All right. I'm trying, you guys. I'm trying. Then Johnny goes over to Nabunga to calm her down as we see Connie come backstage. She tells the Siamese twins that it's a great crowd, and they laugh with her about the dirty underwear joke. That was so funny. Connie shyly says that it wasn't her, that it was Zambini. And the girls are all like, yeah, right, girl. We didn't pay no dime to see your act. And we see Connie look over at Johnny, who turns to look at her. And one of the twins asks her why she's always pretending Zambini is real. Connie tells her, well, that's because Zambini is totally real. And Emmett laughs at her, saying,
right. She must think we're a bunch of rubes, too.
Then Zambini's voice says that they are indeed all a bunch of rubes, Brandon. What's a rube?
Yeah.
What's a rube?
Like a simple country folk.
Okay. And we see him walk backstage. Zambini's all right, Connie, let's go. We have better things to do than waste our time talking to a bunch of these lowlifes. Which, this seems kind of weird to say to me, because... isn't it like Zambini owns these sideshows, so like he employs all these people? Am I wrong?
I never thought that.
You don't feel like
he's part of the troupe?
I feel like he's like the owner. You know, he has that aura of like being a boss kind of thing.
I think he's just an asshole.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go with that then. He goes to walk away, but Connie tells him she wants to stay. So Zambini stops, saying, I didn't ask what you wanted. It's time for dinner. Let's go. And Johnny here pipes up saying, hey, she wants to stay. She can stay. Zambini takes a step closer, telling him to mind his own damn business. Then Connie tells him they need to blow this popsicle stand. Okay, she's out. So Connie walks past Zambini and takes a long look at Johnny while passing by.
Yeah. So we know from here that they've got a thing going on.
Yeah. So Connie likes Johnny. And Johnny clearly likes Connie.
And I feel like if Zambini was the owner, like Johnny wouldn't be like, hey, she said no.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm just wrong. That's fine.
He'd be like, yes, Mr. Zambini. Anything you say.
Thank you for employing me, Mr. Zambini. Yeah. We fade over to the trailer where Connie is looking out the window, and she glances over at Zambini, who's sleeping in bed with a plate on his tummy, because he just got done eating. And then she opens up the door and walks outside. And we cut over to Johnny, playing with some fire near Nabunga, and up walks Connie, playfully saying, what's all the hubba here? Always playing with fire? And Johnny tells her, he meant to tell her before how pretty she looked tonight, but just didn't get the chance. And Connie thinks that's sweet. And Johnny's all, yeah, and it's the truth. And Connie playfully asks, oh, that you're sweet or that I'm pretty? And Johnny chuckles, saying both. And Connie giggles. How cute is that, Brandon?
Yeah, they're adorable.
Then Johnny walks over to Connie on the other side of Nabunga's cage, and he tells Connie that he's getting out of here, since he's had it with this sideshow. In fact, Johnny has a cousin that works in St. Louis, in the government, and says there's jobs. Probably one for her, too, if she's interested. You see, Johnny's got this feeling that Connie doesn't want to be here either, and he was going to ask her if he wanted to come with him. And Connie looks down at the ground and then into Johnny's eyes as he says he's super serious, and he just can't stand the way that son of a bitch treats her. She could probably do a lot better. Connie looks down again and says that there's no way with that Zambini fella. He's got powers that you don't even understand. Johnny gets kind of annoyed here, saying, oh, Connie, come on now. Don't start with all that telepathy mumbo-jumbo again.
Yeah, so even the characters in the story who work with these people, like, don't believe in the magical powers.
Right.
That they actually do have.
Yeah, he is a... you know, Brandon, I don't really understand the way the telepathy works. Like, he can only project his thoughts to Connie. So is Connie the special one, then? The special one.
They're both special, I guess.
All right.
Like, it's probably a talent to be able to inject your thoughts into another person's brain.
Sure.
I can't do that.
No, but only Connie can listen to it. So is this trying to say that there is somebody out there in the world that can hear your thoughts? You just haven't met them yet.
I don't know if they're making such grand statements.
All right. Fair enough.
I think this episode is not that ambitious.
I don't either. But Connie walks back over to Johnny saying that she knows he ain't afraid of nothing, but he should be afraid of Zambini. Johnny jokes asking, what's he going to do? Sit on me? Which is where that whole, like, he's fat thing comes in, because all he does is eat food. But the actor who plays Zambini is not fat, so I don't really know where that joke's going. Nope. Connie asks why he thinks Zambini wears all that makeup all the time, and Johnny replies, oh, a fat face full of gem blossoms? It's like, he's not fat. I'd wear makeup too, which is kind of weird. Okay. Which I have in my notes, kind of weird to say because he's not fat. But even though the episode is this fixation that all this man wants to do is eat, it's kind of weird. Kind of weird casting. Sorry, my notes went into things that we've already said. Connie is being super serious here right now, though. She tells the story about how one night on their honeymoon, because so they're married, Zambini got drunk and told of her how he'd beat up his last assistant. He put her on ice, Connie thinks. That means kill, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Johnny sighs, saying that that is such a charming story to tell his blushing bride. Connie continues that the reason Zambini wears the makeup as a disguise is so the cops won't find him.
Then a while ago, he cracked and started wearing it all the time.
Bottom line, Connie doesn't want Zambini to hurt Johnny. Johnny's all, oh, you know what's hurting me? I just want you so much. We get the shot of the gorilla who is watching this, and Nabunga gets super agitated here. So the two run away and go behind a tent and start smooching. And we hear Connie's thoughts call out, and then we snap over to Zambini, who wakes up with a gasp. And he looks over, but he doesn't see Connie. Oh,
what was that?
So he starts yelling for her. Oh my gosh. Fucking. What was that movie? Cat's Eye, I think, right? Oh my god. That was the best part of that movie.
And that's not saying much.
Oh, that movie was awful. I can't believe we watched it. Outside, Johnny and Connie are smooching and getting all excited and everything. With Zambini, he's getting pissed, and he telepathically calls out for Connie. Connie hears that and starts grabbing her head, yelling, no! And then she runs away and over to the trailer where Zambini is, just walking inside. He asks her where she was, and Connie tells him that she just had to get out of there because Zambini was snoring super loud, like a
fat, stinking pig.
Zambini snaps, oh, how you abuse me. And on this, the night of our greatest triumph, Connie looks at him kind of confused, and Zambini walks down saying, girl, tonight I swear I heard your thoughts. Oh, Connie, tonight I read your mind. Connie doesn't believe him, so Zambini tells her that he saw fire, and Connie just does not want him to read her thoughts and tries to make a run for it, but Zambini grabs her asking, oh, something to hide? Connie complains that Zambini is hurting her, but Zambini's all, oh, I'm just beginning. And he pulls her off screen, and we hear her scream, no! We cut to later, and we see a showerhead raining down some water on the Siamese twins, because we need boobies in this episode for some reason, Brandon.
I was, like, looking at my watch, like, when are we going to get boobies?
It took a while. It took, like, 17 minutes or so. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's too long. That is too long.
From under the wooden door crawls Emmett, who wipes away his goggles and looks up, and the girls see him, and they scream at him. And he smiles about how he just won himself a bet. It's very gratuitous and not important to the story whatsoever.
Yep, just a little bit more exploitation.
Yeah. He crawls out from under there laughing and walks past Connie over to Johnny, asking him to flame broil him some dinner tonight. Johnny ignores that and walks over to Connie, asking her where she's been all day. And we look at Connie's face, and she's got a black eye.
Uh-oh.
She tells him it's fine, and she doesn't care what Zambini does anymore, because she's not afraid, and she's going to go with Johnny. Johnny looks at her, saying, say, what? And she repeats herself. So, you see, Connie here can't get this Johnny fella out of her mind. And Johnny tells her that they'll leave at dawn while everybody is asleep, and the two start smooching and hugging. This agitates Nabunga, the gorilla. And we hear Connie's thoughts say that they'll leave together, you and I, together, Brandon, together. And we hear that as Nabunga just goes wild in her cage. And we cut over to Zambini, hearing Connie's thoughts about leaving together. And he looks up and then just starts frantically cutting and dicing up some meat with a cleaver. And he throws that shit into a flaming pan, complaining, oh, she thinks she's going to leave me, huh? And the meat that he's cutting up looks disgusting.
It's chicken.
I know it's chicken, but it's diced into, like, mincemeat. And I don't know why you would do that. What are you making?
Bourbon.
Bourbon chicken, yep. There
it's
is.
Just bourbon. He's seasoning it with some chicken.
I guess so. In the trailer walks Connie, who looks over at Zambini and asks, hey, was something wrong? And Zambini smiles, saying, everything's fine. So we cut over to Johnny, who's patting Nabunga on the head, asking her if she's okay, and then hands her over a fucking banana, just out of nowhere. Nice and ripe, just like she likes it. Then tells her he's gotta go, and he's gonna miss her, and how she's gonna be the only thing he misses in this place. He slowly backs up from the cage and suddenly gets doused with a bucket of gasoline. And Zambini pops up with a torch in his hand, saying that he's going to teach Johnny a lesson. If he plays with fire, he's going to get burned. Then he throws that little torch on Johnny, who lights up into an inferno, and he's screaming Holy shit. And he falls to the ground in a flaming heap as Zambini and the gorilla watch.
Watching it, I was thinking that he was barely screaming at all.
Yeah, you would think if you were on fire, you'd scream a bit more.
He gets lit on fire, and he's like, ah! And then we see like 20 seconds of him just like moving around on fire silently.
You're right.
And then he falls to the ground with another yell.
It looks pretty good, though, Brandon. I like a good on fire guy.
It is a man on fire, for sure.
I love when shows do that. I think it looks great. And I would never do that, okay? I would never be the one to suit up into a fat suit and have that flame retardant stuff on and be burned. Like, I could never do it, but props to people that can, you know? Makes it look great.
Yeah.
We pop over to Connie, sleeping in bed, as we hear a commotion going on outside. And Zambini rushes inside, and Connie asks, what's going on out there? Zambini tells her, oh, nothing, as far as he knows. Connie doesn't think it sounds like nothing, and asks Zambini what he has done. Outside, Emmett walks over, say, Christ, what a mess! And we see Connie running down the steps to the crispy remains of Johnny. She's all, oh my god, it's Johnny! And she starts screaming that Zambini killed him.
Yeah, like, she did great in the acting in this scene, because she seems like somebody who's heartbroken, seeing the corpse of someone they love, and reacting appropriately.
I think that Joan Chen does, like, really good in this episode. And honestly, like, the acting's not bad from anybody. I mean, Ernie Hudson, who plays Zambini, is a little weird, but it's not bad.
Tonally, it's kind of all over the place, because, like, some of the other sideshow actors are playing it kind of a little more hammy.
Yeah.
Whereas Zambini is, like, genuinely threatening. And Connie is, like, genuinely abused.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit weird. But everybody does a good job still.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we've seen any really terrible acting in the show so far, which has been nice.
Yeah, not enough terrible kid actors. Come on.
We need more. Emmett tries to tell her that it was an accident, but Johnny was a fire eater. And that thing kind of just happens, Brandon. It's the most dangerous profession ever, okay? Connie doesn't believe it, though. She's saying, nope, it was without a doubt Zambini who killed him. Then she runs away and back to the trailer. And she opens up the door. She walks over to the bed and just starts packing up some clothes into a suitcase. And Zambini asks her if she's going somewhere, and then offers up some food for her to eat. Connie tells him,
what the hell?
And Zambini's all, aw, come on, Connie. Where do you think you're going? Connie tells him, I don't even care where I'm going as long as it's not with you. And she goes to leave the trailer, but Zambini telepathically tells her not to walk through that door. And she's his, god damn it. Connie stops for a moment. She, like, touches her head, and then she stops, and she turns around to Zambini, telling him, you know what? Not anymore. And she walks out the door. So she is strong enough to be like, fuck off, Zambini.
Good.
I know. Zambini screams that she'll be back, and she'll be sorry about it. And then he takes a drink out of a bottle, you know, bottle alcohol. We fade to some time later where Zambini is drunk on the floor, drinking up some more alcohol, muttering that she can't leave him. Then he's all, okay, my little pet, time to come home. And he raises his hands and touches his temples, just like Professor Xavier from X-Men. And we hear his telepathic voice call out for Connie, for her to come back wherever she is, and Zambini forgives her. He goes on and on. He's like, come on back, it's going to be great. And we hear Connie's telepathic voice call back.
I hear you. I'm coming.
So Zambini's all, oh, I knew you weren't far, and that you would come on back to me. And we hear a loud thud, and we hear Connie's telepathic voice say, okay, I'm here. And Zambini looks up at the ceiling, where there's a glass window for some reason, and in crashes Nabunga, the gorilla, Brandon. And we find out that it was Nabunga's thoughts that Zambini was hearing the whole time.
That's great.
She says that she's ready for dessert, and that this is for Johnny. Did you see that
she
coming,
says,
Brandon?
Amy, hungry.
What is that even from, Brandon?
Congo, man!
I never see Congo, okay?
Amy, gorilla, want brains.
Then the episode cuts to, like, I don't know, 5 frames per second, as the gorilla says it wants to taste his mind. And we see the gorilla grab the cleaver off the table and run over to Zambini, who screams. And it looks terrible, Brandon. It is literally, like, 5 frames a second. It's awful.
Yeah, they wanted to do slow motion, but, like, you can't just do slow motion by slowing down an already low frame rate video.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. You need to record at a high frame rate.
I don't think it was available at the times for the budget, you know?
No, they tried and they failed.
It reminded me a lot of the Werewolf of Fever Swamp when the werewolf was chasing them in Goosebumps. But I think it was worse, honestly.
Oh, yeah. It looks terrible.
We pop over to the twins running up to Emma saying something terrible has happened. And the entire sideshow are now in front of the gorilla cage. And we see that Nabunga's bent her bars, you know, so that she could get out. And they look inside to see the gorilla snacking on something. A dude calls out,
"Now that's a man-eating gorilla."
And we pan down to the gorilla to see that she's got Zambini's severed head in her arms. And she is just eating his brains like it's a bowl of popcorn.
Yeah, she's just scooping out brains and eating it.
It's great. It looks really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is loving that. So she went and chopped his head off and whatnot, and then just went back to her cage and is like, this is cool.
Yeah. And everybody's just like, damn, okay. this is happening.
All right. Well, good thing he's not our boss.
They literally just make jokes about the fact that Zambini is dead and his brains are being scooped into a gorilla's mouth right now. Like, they're just like, meh.
Well, wouldn't you? He sucked.
He does suck. I just think it's so funny that just like, oh, that's a man-eating gorilla. All right, let's get back to work, guys. It's great.
What else are you supposed to do? Grieve for Zambini?
You got a good point, Brandon. It was it's probably exactly what they wanted to happen to Zambini because he's an asshole. Connie got out, so that's good. It's a good ending.
Yeah. Everybody but Johnny got what they deserved.
Poor Johnny. Over with the Crypt Keeper, he's got a bunch of utensils on the table, and we pan over to see him grab some pliers saying, yummy. I sure hope Nabunga ate it all. You know what they say, kiddies, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Maybe she saved some for breakfast and had it in her brain muffin, you know, instead of bran muffin. He giggles, and he turns his attention over to the guy who's still strapped in the dentist chair or whatever, and he's all, man, afraid it's gonna have to come out. And the guy shakes his head a bunch, and Crypty's all, yep, it's gotta come out right now. Now, put your head back and open up wide, and we see Crypty start yanking on something in the dude's mouth. When he pulls it out, it's the guy's tongue, and he tells the camera they don't call him the Tooth Scary for nothing. And he gives a sensible chuckle about that one, Brandon, very reserved
Nobody
chuckle.
Nobody calls him that.
And that's the end of the episode.
Well, out of all the episodes we've seen, that was one of them.
Yeah, it sure was, Brandon. Did you learn anything from Food for Thought?
Well, I didn't learn how to read people's minds, so...
So what was the point, you know?
Yeah.
God.
Why did I even watch this?
The audacity, Brandon. Jeez. Yeah, I learned I don't really feel like seeing a sideshow. I mean, they don't exist anymore anyway, so I don't have an opportunity, but I don't think it's for me.
I learned that fire eating is dangerous.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Alaskan crab fishing or whatever. Fire eating is the most dangerous profession. That's why they don't really do it much anymore. You'll get sizzled up every time. Food for thought, Brandon. Did you think that was a good name?
I mean, it's good as a Crypt Keeper pun name, I guess.
Yeah.
But no.
I think it could have been like Zambini the Telepathic Clown. That's a terrible name. Don't use that, Cretels from the Crypt.
Yes, please.
What's eating Zambini?
That's actually really good.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I've never seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Me either.
Well, look at that. Do you want to meet this cast, Brandon?
Sure. I have some recognizable faces here.
Okay. Let me open up some IMDbs here. I'm only going to open up four of them because like they're really only as four characters. The first one is Zambini, played by Ernie Hudson, who is a Ghostbuster. You know, he said that last time. He was actually literally just in a movie that's in theaters right now, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah, he's been Ghostbusting for a long time.
Yeah, like 40 years. Good job, Ernie.
Yeah. He was also in Congo and was probably killed by a killer gorilla in that. So, you know, he's typecast. That's what I'm saying.
Sure. Well, he started things off in 1976 with Lead Belly. I don't know what that is.
A blues singer, probably.
Okay. He was in Fantasy Island in 78. And yeah, he just kind of was in a lot of things from there. Bosom Buddies, Brandon? You ever seen Bosom Buddies? I've never seen it.
I've heard of it.
I was right, though. Ghostbusters was 1984, so it was 40 years ago. I can't believe that. He was in the music video, too. Now, do you love the Ghostbusters music video?
I've never seen the video.
You love the song, though, right?
Yeah, song's great. One of the all-time greats.
It's so good.
He was in Batman the Animated Series. He was in Speechless and Grace Under Fire. I made a joke about that last episode, and I'm not going to do it again. Mr. Magoo from 1997, Brandon.
That's cool, I guess.
Sure. More recently, let's look into the 2010s. Oh, hold on. 2011, Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, Brandon.
I mean, the man has 255 credits, so he has just been working for decades.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of, like, Adult Swim shows. I think one was Children's Hospital. He was in Robot Chicken. I wonder if that show is still going on.
No idea.
I don't either. I haven't seen it in a very long time. He was in Ghostbusters Afterlife. I didn't watch that movie. And then, you know, like I said, the newest Ghostbusters. So, he's still working it. Still great. He did good in this episode, too. Just a little bit creepy, you know?
Well, yeah. He's a creep.
He was. Let's look at Joan Chen, who played Connie. And she's been in 96 things. So, that's pretty great. She started it off in 1977 with Qing Chun, Brandon. It looks like she was in maybe like in Chinese stuff, right?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah. A lot. Like a lot.
Dim Sum, A Little Bit of Heart. Okay. You recognized her from something, right? From
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, yeah.
Josie Packard.
I'm sure she did really great in that too, right?
She's not my favorite character, but like she did well in the role.
Okay. More recently, she was in something called Lady of the Dynasty in 2015. She was in The House That Never Dies 2, Brandon. Most recently, 2024, so she's still working it. She was in Dee Dee. So, she was in 38 episodes of The Heart and then 6 episodes of A Murder at the End of the World. So, she's still working it today. Good job.
Next,
we have John Laughlin playing Johnny. So, they're like, all right, you got to be named John to play Johnny.
I can't remember my name otherwise. I feel like if I was an actor, like I would need to be like Charlie Sheen and just be Brandon and everything, because people would be like, hey, Kevin. And I would just be like,
is that me?
Looking at my phone. Like, oh, yeah. Huh? What?
It'd be a tough one. He started things off 1978 with Mag Wheels. And then he was in the Star Wars Holiday Special, Brandon.
Wow.
Yeah, he played what a career maker. Stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved that. He was in 2 episodes of Murder, She Wrote and then China Beach back in 1989. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I recognize from him, but I don't really.
He's the Footloose guy.
Oh, is he? Okay. I've never seen Footloose.
He was in Footloose.
He was. He was also in The Lawnmower Man. Something.
Ugh. Ugh. Yeah.
Most recently, he was in God's Country Song. Okay.
He wrote it, probably.
But let's go on to our last character here, Brandon. Phil Fondacaro, he played Emmett. He played Emmett in this episode, and he's been in a lot of stuff because he was an Ewok in Star Wars Episode 6.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi.
I think he's very recognizable. He's been in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. He was in...
Yeah, that's what I know him from.
Walker, Texas Ranger, Adam's Family Reunion. He played Cousin It. He's just been in a lot of things. I recognized him from Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's Double Double Toil and Trouble, so he was in that. But he started things off in 1981 with Under the Rainbow. And then he went, in 1984, he was in something called The Dungeon Master. So that's cool.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
He was in something called Hard Rock Zombies. I need to look that up right now.
Oh, I bet that's really great. He was in Land of the Dead too, Brandon. So I don't know, maybe he really likes zombies.
Out of the grave band of Hard Rock Zombies.
Oh my goodness, somebody doesn't like it.
No. I'll just stop talking about Hard Rock Zombies now.
Yeah, you should. Somebody in your house is like, never again. More recently, his last credited role was The Haunted Dollhouse from 2013. So he hasn't been working in film and stuff in a little while, but
yeah. But he's still kicking.
He's still kicking. He's doing it. He's doing that life thing.
Good for him.
Exactly. Brandon, do you want to see what's next week? What episode we're covering next?
I really do.
Okay. Well, this one's a mouthful here, Brandon. Season 5, Episode 5 of Tales from the Crypt is called People Who Live in Brass Hearses.
Wow. That's a title.
Yes, it is. Oh, boy. This one. Okay. I don't know if I can say this. Okay. A hot-tempered convict with a butter addiction.
What?
Tries to get revenge with the help of his mentally challenged brother on the ice cream trucker who was responsible for his arrest. Unaware, the driver also has a dark secret too.
Wow.
I don't...
Like, that has to be amazing, right? Like, that's just such a very specific...
A butter addiction, Brandon.
A butter addiction. Like, how is that even a thing?
How is they going to convey that in an episode? I don't know. We do have Brad Dourif in this one, though. So ooh. I love Brad Dourif. Yeah.
Okay.
Voice of Chucky. That's going to be great. Bill Paxton. I know that name.
Okay. We've got a cast here. We've got a cast. Brad Dourif and Bill Paxton.
Who's Lainey Kazan? Is it somebody? Am I saying your name wrong?
I don't know.
How about Michael Lerner?
That's Blank Check guy, isn't it?
Is it Fat Guy?
Chicken is in the Pot.
Yeah. We're going to have the whole Blank Check cast eventually, Brandon. It's going to be great.
Good.
When's Juice coming, you know? But that's next week, Brandon. People Who Live in Brass Hearses. What a mouthful that one is. I'm excited, though. I can't wait to see what they do with a butter addiction, Brandon. I hope he just sits there and eats butter.
I just love Bill Paxton and Brad Dourif.
Yeah, me too. But like I said, that's next week, Brandon. For now, I've been up all night. I think we should end things here, Brandon. I want to go back to sleep. I'm not feeling good.
Yeah, you should go to sleep.
Should I? But look, I'm going to edit it all out, but I've been sneezing and sniffling this entire episode. So by the time I'm done editing, though, it'll sound gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
And be half an hour long.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, it's going to be so rough. Oh, it's going to be our shortest episode yet. But I'm out of here, Brandon. I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
She must think we're a bunch of rubes, too.